Did you feel illegal?
I did. I kind of felt ashamed sometimes.
This is WJCT's What It's Like, where people share just that. I'm the host, Lindsay Kilbride, and like all the episodes this season, this one is based on a conversation recorded in Jacksonville by StoryCorps, the national nonprofit that travels around recording conversations between people. Then I'm following up with additional interviews to get an even deeper look. 34-year-old Andrea Reyes and 30-year-old Sylvia Massetti both immigrated to the United States as kids, but they've had very different experiences. And before we really get into those stories, I want to share a funny part of their conversation. Andrea, an immigration attorney, recently qualified for citizenship.
Did I tell you about my interview?
How you fail and then get the wrong answer and then they give you another chance.
Yeah. Well, I didn't fail. You prepare your clients to do it and then you go do it and you like blank. I just blanked. First question he asked me, I remember so clearly, was, who is the Chief Justice? And I completely blanked. So, you know, he says, okay, we'll come back to that one. And then he asked me, what is the purpose of the judiciary? And I was like, to enforce the laws, which of course is wrong. And then, you know, to make the laws, which of course is Congress. And then I was like, oh my God, no, to interpret the laws. And he looks at me and he goes, are you sure you're an attorney?
Andrea came to the U.S. from Colombia with her dad, who had a work visa when she was 6 years old. So she grew up here a legal permanent resident, and she became a citizen at her leisure when she had the time and the money to do it, which is a lot different than Sylvia's experience immigrating here, where ICE immigration enforcement was on her mind every day. Do you have an example of a situation where you thought that this is going to be the day?
Yes, I was at the landing one day.
So she's working at the mall, and part of her job is checking customers' IDs, you know, when they pay with credit cards.
And I see an ICE officer, and he pulled out his badge because he was showing me his ID. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is it. And I was like, oh God. And he said, okay, thank you. Have a good day. I was like, oh. I felt such a relief.
Why did you leave Venezuela?
It wasn't safe for us anymore, and so my mom decided that it was a good time for us to leave at that point.
Do you have any memories of feeling like it was unsafe?
It wasn't normal at that point, but that's something I really want to talk to.
That's all she wants to say on that. But Venezuela has one of the highest murder rates in the world and a history of political corruption. When Sylvia's 13, she moves to Florida with her mom, siblings, and stepdad. Her family applies for asylum, but 2 years later, that request is denied, and her family is served deportation orders.
I just remember my mom saying that it was denied, and we needed to move, and we really packed everything and moved to a different place. We live at our friend's house for like 3 months because we were afraid to go back to our place.
That also comes with a new set of rules for 15-year-old Sylvia.
Mama was like, you know, don't be like those kids, like go out at nighttime and go around on the street. She didn't want us to do that because that's when, you know, cops can get involved, and we didn't want that.
She talked to Andrea about that during their StoryCorps conversation.
What did fear look like for you growing up in that environment?
It was just that, you know, and then when just that fear, like someone's going to come and get you, and like the constant feeling like someone was watching over you, you know, like thinking like, what if something happens? Who would you call? Like, where would it go? And, you know, every time you hear like, oh, there was an ICE raid, and, you know, like, oh, what if I was going there? Like, what if I would do this? What if there was me there? Like, it was that constantly. I was just thinking about it every single day. And it's upset to think about that. You know, if you're 14, 15, 16 year old, you don't want to think about that. You just want to hang out with your friends like a regular teenager. But I didn't have that growing up.
Right. Did you feel illegal? Did you ever feel, you know, this word is tossed around so loosely?
I did. I kind of felt ashamed sometimes because I didn't have what every other person did.
Yeah.
Every other teenager, I must say, you know.
And growing up, would you ever tell your friends about your status?
Some of my friends did. They got really, really close friends. But I wouldn't want to share everything with everybody. It was really, really private.
Her undocumented status also means while her friends are getting their first cars, she can't get a license. She also can't travel, which means never visiting her dad, who lives in Panama. As a teenager, did you ever feel, you know, frustrated with your mom or your family for putting you in this situation?
I did get frustrated. Sometimes because, you know, I wanted to travel. I wanted to do so many things like regular people. If I compare my life to my friends in Venezuela, yes, they have more stuff. Like, they graduated way before I did. But then I compare my life. I was like, I'm safe here. I speak two languages. I got a really nice job. I have all these things that they don't have. So that compensates.
Today, Sylvia is a paralegal at an immigration law firm, which was possible because during the summer of 2012, President Obama announced DACA. That meant people brought to the U.S. illegally as young kids could apply for work authorizations, IDs, and get their deportation proceedings deferred. Sylvia was approved. And with the help of Andrea, who is her boss and attorney, she was recently approved for a green card. Was it a long shot for Sylvia to get approved?
Yes. There's a lot of in immigration law, there's a lot of discretion, meaning even if you are able to satisfy all the elements, all the requirements of a specific case, an immigration officer, an ICE officer, an immigration judge, they have a lot of discretion to make a decision. They have a lot of wiggle room within that authority. And so, you know, in having a deportation order, you're really at the mercy of the court. We argued everything under the sun for her. You know, she was a DACA recipient. You know, she had gone to school. She had 2 degrees. You know, she had a stable job. She was very helpful to her family. And so we were hopeful. You know, once you submit those kind of filings, you're just, all you can do is hope and wait.
Sylvia was eventually approved based on the court's willingness to reopen her case and her marriage. Her husband is a citizen. Still, the proceedings took 3 years.
I just remember having this thought that even if we were able to do this for you, it wouldn't be your complete happiness. Like, we wouldn't, getting you your green card and getting you your legal status after 17 years wasn't going to be enough because of your family.
Yeah, that's right.
How does that feel?
I came here with my family, and even though I have what I wanted, it's never going to be enough if they don't have what I have, if I can't share what I have with them.
Right.
Because, you know, everything that I have, it's because of them. It's because we have done everything together as a family. And it's upset that I can't share what I have right now, which is my residency, with them. I can do certain things that I'm able to do with them. Like, I want to go out of the country, and they can't. They can do that. So, you know, that I'm still upset about that.
Yeah.
What do people get wrong about immigrants, particularly those who are undocumented?
A lot. Again, I work exclusively with immigrants, so my opinion might be a little biased, but I see dreamers, I see workers, I see family people, I see dedicated individuals, I see caring souls, I see hope. I think if they had a conversation with one immigrant, and really understood the struggle that it is for them to be apart from their family, to leave behind an entire life, to leave behind everything that they've known, to come to a scary place that they know they're going to be rejected, that they know they're going to be mistreated, that they know they're going to be abused. You know, nobody makes that choice, like,
you know, so willingly.
This is What It's Like, a production made possible by the supporters of WJCT. This episode was based on a conversation recorded by StoryCorps in Jacksonville, Florida. It was produced by me, Lindsay Kilbride, with editing by Jessica Palumbo. And some of the music you heard was composed by our intern, Al Pete. Subscribe to hear more stories like this one.
That day, we were separated. All my family on my mother's side are all gone. Yeah, that's the day that changed my life forever.